we were on the eve a week ago of our Make 12 Hours Count for Veterans, Veterans and Their Families, and Veterans Count, my 12-hour radiothon last Wednesday. And thanks to you, we raised well over $100,000 in the day from donors for our veterans. And one of the folks who helped us out in the afternoon is retired Army General Don Boldick. And, of course, he's a U.S. Senate Republican candidate. But, General, I want to say a belated thank you for helping us out that day. It was a really important day, and I think we helped raise a lot of awareness for veterans and their service and their families. Thank you.
Well, you're very welcome, Jack, and really thank you, and thank Easter Seals and Veterans Count and, you know, Kathy Flynn and her team and everybody out there that does just a great job supporting our veterans and filling the gaps that's much needed. So you are welcome, and I'm honored to do it, and thank you.
I want to talk a little on some of the current foreign policy. You have a great guest you brought in. I'm a little surprised that an Army general is, no, I'm kidding. He's bringing in a pretty distinguished Lieutenant Colonel Marine, 17 years, who's up here with you. Can you introduce our guest?
Sure, I'd love to. I'm here with Lieutenant Colonel Stu Scheller, United States Marine Corps. He's a Afghanistan veteran, an Iraq veteran, but most notably, he stood up to the chain of command. He stood up to the chain of command when nobody else would, and he paid a price for it, and I know he's going to talk to you about it. And I am honored to host him up here before his book comes out in June, Crisis in Command, and I'm sure he'll talk about that a little bit. But he is a great American and somebody that I would have loved to have in my command.
You know, General, I did not realize, because I had the honor of meeting him when you brought in Victor, but we're in our third hour this morning on our network of news talk stations. I'm now putting the pieces together. I remember this story, I believe, about this Marine speaking up, because I remember reading about him.
That's right.
And how proud I was of his courage to speak up. Thanks for being with us in your service to the country.
Thanks, Jack. Thanks for having me on. General, thanks for the kind words. I'm excited to get the opportunity to speak to your guest.
Well, I did not realize it was you who was in here, because I remember reading about your career. It was almost 17, just shy of 20 years, right?
That's right. Yep, 17 years. I was a sitting battalion commander, and I watched what happened, and somebody needed to say what needed to be said, and I just didn't see any other leaders like Don Boldick in the military that had the courage to say what needed to be said. And so I made a video. It was a simple video challenging my leaders to accept accountability, because that's what we preach for our junior enlisted, and it just never happened, and a long struggle ensued between me and the leadership. And I'm here today supporting people that I think have courage, like Don Boldick, and I'm happy to be here and learn from him and support him in any way that I can.
Can you go back, for those who don't remember, because I remember that week, I remember the images. I think many people should never forget those images of that mess leaving the airport, parents trying to hand their kids across the wire to our troops. It was chaos. We lost service members. It was, in my opinion, you can correct me, but you don't have to, Lieutenant Colonel. I think it was a political goal of the White House to have that press release done before July 4th, and we paid a price for it. You may not agree, but...
No, I 100% agree. They were shooting for September 11th. They quickly drew down from 2,500 to 600...
I mean September 11th, sorry.
Yep. They quickly drew down from 2,500 to 650 troops, military troops on the ground. The general in charge, McKenzie, never pushed back. We left Bagram Air Base. We then had to, out of no other option, rely on the Taliban for external security because we allowed them to move all the way to Kabul after they grew their force by 7,000 prisoners that we left in the Bagram prison. And then they allowed the suicide vest detainee from the prison to move through the checkpoint, kill 13 service members. Then in response, we flew a drone strike. We killed nothing but women and children. And then the president, secretary of defense, and combat commander all talked about what a great accomplishment the evacuation was.
Right.
And I was just sitting there watching it in disgust. One of the units that responded was 1-8, was my first unit. My friend was hit with a suicide vest attack in Ramadi, and I spent a lot of time with him and Walter Reed. It was very personal to me. And so I just thought, you know, enough is enough. Obviously, terrible decisions were made. You know, the general may not have made the decision, but he didn't push back. And
right.
So once he assumed the restraints of the plan, at that point, he becomes accountable. And it was just very black and white
right.
to me that he should be held accountable. And up to this point, it just hasn't happened.
Lieutenant Colonel, or speak up. Now, and I meant September 11th. I think it was just a quick press release to get it done to say we're the ones that pulled out of Afghanistan despite the cost before 9/11. And it was a press hit, I think. My question to you is, you're writing a book about this. At the time, I don't think you said that much on that posting, but apparently it rubs some feather, you know, irks some people
yeah.
in the wrong way.
So I was never planning on resigning. It was just that one post where I was like, hey, leaders, you should be held accountable, at least to the same standard that we are. But then they quickly relieved me. They quickly attacked my mental health. I was forced to get a mental health evaluation. It just became this thing where at a certain point I realized the divide was too big and I couldn't serve in an organization that was as hypocritical as it was. And I just, it was the hill that I was willing to die on. So I ended up continuing to make statements. They gave me a gag order, violated the gag order, and then they put me in prison. I was in solitary confinement for 9 days, got out, got court-martialed, and then was forced to resign without my retirement at 17 years. And yeah, I wrote a book. And my book, I really am proud of it. It has the last two decades of where our generation has been at war the entire time. So I talk about the macro trends. We haven't really won a war since World War II. You can debate me on this academically about Korea or Desert Shield, Desert Storm, but ultimately all our large campaigns we've lost because we're not holding senior leaders accountable and we deflect blame on the junior service member. So my book talks about a lot of the things that need to get transformed in the military, but it weaves in the micro story of what I went through when I made that first post that really makes the book fun to read, in my opinion. So it's called Crisis of Command. It doesn't actually come out until the end of August, beginning of September, but you can pre-order it on Amazon, and I'm excited to get out and promote it. But I'm also excited to get out and promote candidates that I think have courage, because right now Congress didn't do anything either. They all had their sound bites of anger, but they didn't stand against the DOD budget. And so before I have to get out on the book tour, I'm trying to find people like Don Bolduc. Don Bolduc was calling my family and supporting them. If you go back and read a February 2021 op-ed article, Don Bolduc is probably the only general with Afghan experience that called the shot and said exactly what they should be doing, and no one listened to him. The current political generals that we have, the yes sir men, just don't push back. And that's why someone like Don Bolduc washes out at one star, because they didn't want him to continue to play, because he was telling the truth, and the generals that at the 4 or 3 star level don't like people like him. And that's why we need people like him in the Senate to hold them accountable, because right now no one's holding them accountable.
Lieutenant Colonel Stuart Scheller, U.S. Marine. Real quickly, Lieutenant, before I switch to Don Bolduc, 17 years in the Marines. You watch this travesty unfold. You simply spoke up. You were not only reprimanded and punished, I forgot you were in prison. What did you say about your retirement?
I don't have one. So
17
not only
years
did
in the
they
military,
take,
they're taking your retirement away for speaking up against inept leadership that lacked the backbone to admit that this was political.
I'd go one further. They offered me a honorable or general under honorable, and then they gave me a general under honorable, which prevents me from going into the reserves to even get my retirement. So they did everything they could to kind of stick it to me with a knife in my back on my way out the door.
Well, it would be an honor for me when the book comes out for me to do all I can through our show to raise as many sales as we can for you, because you more than served this country. You more than gave 17 years in the United States Marines, and all you did was have the gumption to speak up when you saw something wrong. Don Bolduc, does this surprise you about your friend and guest?
Well, I didn't know Stu Scheller before. We certainly served in Afghanistan the same time, and he was out doing some critical missions out in Afghanistan around in support of my special operators on the ground, finding and defeating improvised explosive devices and providing us the intel we needed in order to increase our force protection. So although I didn't know him before this, as soon as I saw the video, I knew exactly what was going to happen. I did my best to find him, did my best to reach out, and I got his mom and dad, and we developed a very quick relationship. And from there, I got to know him, and I said, you know, I cherish these kind of subordinates in my command that would tell me what I need to hear, not what I want to hear.
Even if you didn't want to hear it.
Even if I didn't want to hear it. And it was good, because it saves lives, and it empowers them, and they are the heart and soul. They're the ones that... The reason I'm a general is to make sure that I give them everything they need to be successful, and then I have to be able to have the guts to stand up to political and civilian leadership when they get it wrong. That's not fighting or doing something unconstitutional. That is absolutely your responsibility as a general and an admiral.
General, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with you and our guest, and I'm really honored to have him here. But General, real quickly in a nutshell, with the Lieutenant Colonel situation, and I just want to cut to the chase, is this politics?
Oh, it's hugely politics. It's political generals who have been put in place since the Bush administration, a collection of yes men who belong to a club,
you
go along
Bible.
To move
yeah.
along, and that's what it is, and it needs to stop.
Incredible story. We have retired Army General Don Bolduc, who happens to be a Republican U.S. Senate candidate in this Republican primary. But he was nice enough to bring in someone who's up here supporting him. He's retired. Well, I'm not going to say a former because he's a Marine. Lieutenant Colonel Stuart Scheller, 17 years in the United States Marine Corps, lives in North Carolina. He spoke up. He spoke up and he criticized what almost every person in America or our adversaries watched was a complete debacle on rushing out of Afghanistan and losing American lives and leaving people behind, which I think is, I'm going to say it, because if they want to take away my retirement, good luck, let them try. A press release for the Biden administration before 9/11, that week that should go down, those searing images at the airport, and Lieutenant Colonel Scheller, all he did as a Marine was speak up, saying it was wrong, and he got reprimanded, forced out of the military, if you will, the Marines, and put into prison, and his retirement was taken away. He's writing a book. What's the name of the book, Lieutenant Colonel?
Yeah, Jack, it's Crisis of Command, and it comes out end of August, beginning of September.
Well, thank you for your service. General, let's switch gears. You know, you've talked about what's going on with the war in Ukraine. You have over 30 years of service, and as a Senate candidate, you've spoken out. You've been on Fox News on some early military analysis when Putin's forces tried to kind of go in, and as awkward as it was, it's a protracted situation. Vladimir Zelensky just talked about a big hit, 87 Ukrainians with that rocket blast the other day. But eastern Ukraine seems to be where this is. But this war is not over. It's causing havoc, taking too many lives, causing a refugee crisis, the rape, the war crimes. It's a terrible situation in the Ukraine. And we're doing a lot of financial support. But I've commented on the show weeks ago. You said nationally, what is the truth? That hopefully our special forces and intelligence will help what's going on there. We learned later the British special forces have been over there doing it. You were just speaking military expertise. And some correspondent nationally was just so unbelievable how these national correspondents hold their jobs. Basically, started criticizing you for a fact. I don't know of a military operation where our intelligence hasn't been there ahead of us and how we wouldn't use it. But earlier today, and it still continues, it's amazing. Corey Lewandowski, former campaign manager for Donald Trump, was on the show this morning. When I asked him of the Republican field of candidates, if Wendy Long does not run with Don Bolduc, Kevin Smith, and Senate President Chuck Morris, is there a candidate there that you would support or the former president? Let's have a listen to what Corey Lewandowski said.
Well, I can say this, Jack. Unequivocally, I would not endorse Don Bolduc. You know, his position on Ukraine, which is American troops on the ground, is completely opposite of what I believe. I believe our American troops should be home. And as a brother who served, you know, 26 years in the United States Marine Corps, I want to see them home and on domestic soil unless there is a compelling reason. And I don't think giving $40 billion to the Ukraine and putting American troops over there is the right decision for the American people.
Did you ever talk about putting American soldiers on the ground in Ukraine?
No, I did not. It's completely false. And if you look at the Steve Hilton clip where Jennifer Griffin, the correspondent you were talking about, completely mischaracterized me. And then others with political agendas, you know, jumped all over, colossally uninformed. And I just love it when people take credit for other people's service and think they're some sort of subject matter experts. But I did not ever, and nor do I support putting boots on the ground. And if you listen to my last close-up on Sunday, I peeled apart quite professionally why I would not support the $40 billion. And they're, you know, I mean, this is out there. They just need to do their homework, and they need to be honest. And the other media besides yourself, because we put this to bed a long time ago, the other media folks out there, instead of parroting, I feel like I need to keep a box of crackers with me and just give them a cracker every once in a while, because all they do is parrot inaccurate statements from the colossally uninformed. And it's just tragic. It's political.
I was going to ask, is it political?
It's political. It's just political. And my name is Bolduc, not Bolduc. So pronounce it right. Give me that respect. Let's move forward, because it's a complete lie.
Now, when you look at what's going on in the Ukraine, and Lieutenant Colonel can step in before we go to the bottom of the hour, how does this de-escalate? Where do you see this going? My feeling all along was Putin, I have my own thoughts. I think the current president kind of opened the door in that awkward interview he did in his one-on-one interview before the Beijing Winter Games, where Putin went over there to kiss the ring of China. They came back and I think he thought he was going to roll into Ukraine, have Kyiv in a few weeks, I think he underestimated Vladimir Zelensky and the will of the people. And I think eventually, though, it's the eastern part of the country, the Odessa, the sea area. That's my feeling, that he's going to want to carve out some block there, and that's the only victory he claims. But how do you see it de-escalating?
Well, this is how it needs to de-escalate. First of all, the United States needs policy, right? The State Department, the National Security Council, the President, Department of Defense, they need a national policy. And instead of working on equity plans on how we're going to make everything equal inside, you know, America's military and everything else, we need to move forward, and we need to get this last sanction done, the energy sanction, which would take 70% of Putin's GDP off the table, and that would get his attention. Tell him to stop bombing, get him to the table. As you just said, we're all back to the same pre-invasion lines, except in the south. And ownership of the Black Sea is critical, because that gives you free navigation right up into the underbelly of Turkey, through the Dardanelles Straits, into the Mediterranean. This is strategically dangerous, and nobody is seeing the big picture. Mm-hmm. They're myopically focused on Ukraine. They're forgetting about China. They're forgetting about North Korea. They're forgetting about Iran. And this is what they do. You know, they micro-focus on things, and they don't look at the macro picture, and they don't look at how to play chess. You know, they're playing checkers, the big checker games like you see at Cracker Barrel. And it's just absolutely wrong, right? And then you got all these other people that sound off that have absolutely no experience, with military policy, military strategy, and they just confuse the issues. So hit the sanction. Bring them to the table. Tell them enough is enough. We don't need to be spending $40 billion that we don't have, particularly 13.5 of it that goes directly through the State Department to the government of Ukraine. This was irresponsible, and we haven't even depleted the money and the equipment in the previous package that we did. And we do this all the time, and now we're printing money we don't have. And yes, we need to balance our national security, homeland security, and foreign policy. And this is what a lot of people don't understand. They're not inseparable. Uh-huh. It is a balance, and it is out of balance. And again, people who aren't subject matter experts don't get this. They just key on one thing,
right,
and they try to politicize it.
And some people don't understand energy independence is a national security issue. We don't seem to get that.
Certainly is.
Don Bolton, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Republican candidate, U.S. Senate. Before I let Lieutenant Colonel Scheller go, the book comes out next month?
End of August.
Oh, not till the end of August.
Yeah, but you can go on Amazon and pre-order it, Crisis of Command.
And what are you doing between now and then? What are you doing these days?
Supporting great leaders like Don Bolton.
All right. North Carolina is the home?
It is.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it.